see, we honor you. This is your special day. We value all the things that you have done. You have made our home a place for, you know, for our growth and nurturing us, even when we are kids. We are grateful for your all the sacrifice and hard work, whether inside home, yung mga iba nagtatrabaho pa. So we are so thankful. May we just recognize all the mothers. So may I invite everyone or every mother to stand up, and so that we can just recognize you and we could pray for you. Sige lang po. Yan. Another clap of honor. And we have actually a special token for you. Allow us to give you a token na para sa inyo. Tunay po na kayo po ay aming pinapahalagahan this afternoon. Salamat sa lahat ng inyong hard work, lahat ng self-sacrifice and service to the family. You are such a great and precious blessing to the family. Yan. And so let's just wait for everyone to receive their token before I lead us into prayer. Tayo lang po tayo, and then let's all bow our heads. Pagdasal po natin ang ating mga ina. Our Father in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for these wonderful mothers that you have brought to our lives. They are a special blessing from you. Much of the person we are today is the result of the dedication, the care, hard work, and sacrifice of these mothers. Our home would not be a place of love and caring if not for them. Our childhood would not be a period of encouragement, nurture, and guidance if not for them. And so, Father, we pray that you continue to give them strength, courage, wisdom, joy, and peace in their lives. Bless them more in the years to come. And for all of us, help us to love our mothers more each day, to appreciate the things they have done and continue to do for us. And as you have commanded, help us to honor them, to love them back with the kind of love that we have from you, the great and loving Father of all mothers. This we pray with praise and thanksgiving in the sweetest name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all of GCF Nuvali say, amen and amen. May God bless you, all the mothers here. Thank you. Okay. This afternoon, I'll be giving a message that I entitled Revealing the Father's Heart. This is based on the parable of the loss that you can find in Luke chapter 15. And to give this message, let me start with this question. What kind of a person does God love? No, I want you to give a moment to reflect on this question. What kind of person does God love? Now, how do you begin to answer this kind of question? You may say, God is love, so God loves everyone, right? Wait, everyone? What about Hitler? Or the terrorist who did the attack on 9/11? Let's take some examples, you know, closer to home. What about those spouse who left their husband or wife for someone else? Or a parent, father or mother, who gave up on their child for adoption? What kind of a person does God love? You know, Jesus answered this question, and his answer is given in Luke chapter 15 through parables. And so the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, that parable is where we can find Jesus' answer to this question. Now, let me give you the background muna. Ibigay ko muna sa inyo yung background ng story. Bakit bibigay ni Jesus yung parable na to? Now, this is the background. You can find it on the first verse that Jesus was being criticized. Kinukutsa siya ng mga Pharisees and scribes for hanging out with the tax collectors and sinners. And they were angry, you know. They were saying that that is not right. And so we take it from the first verse of the chapter, Luke 15. Now, let me give you some introduction. Yung tax collectors, these are the people who are notorious thieves. No? Tatanungin sila ng tao, how much do we owe you? Sabihin nila, well, how much do you have? Parang ganun. Ganun ka notorious ng pagnanakaw, no? They are notorious on taking and pocketing some of the tax money for themselves. Yung sinners naman are those who failed morally. They are the social outcasts. No one cared for them. In fact, nilalayuan sila ng mga tao. And the verse says, they are drawing near to Him. Bakit? Bakit lumalapit sila kay Jesus? Kasi they met this preacher na walang formal education or formal training, but He heals them. He offers forgiveness to them. He cares for them. And there's something in Him, the way He cares to these people, that touches their hearts. And so, they are attracted to this person. He even go to their home and, as the verse would say, eats with them. Now, in Jewish culture, when you eat with someone, that is an act to affirm them. It's like you're having a mutual understanding na close kayo, na you are friends. And so this seriously offends the Pharisees and the scribes. Yung scribes, yan yung nag-interpret ng law. Yung Pharisees, sila yung natuturo ng batas sa mga tao. And they're very good in the laws, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes. And they are grumbling. Why? Kasi sa Jewish law, yung mere contact or fellowship, much more eating with sinners, make you unclean. The sinners are unclean. Yung tatabi ka lang sa kanila, kakain kasama nila, they make you unclean. And that's why, you know, the Pharisees are saying, etong taong to, it couldn't be coming from God. He's not credible. Hindi pwede. Kasi if someone comes from God and he is holy, how come he's doing fellowship with a sinner? And so Jesus would say, let me tell you some stories. Let me tell you some stories about sinners and how God feels about them. And so we have that in Luke chapter 15. And it's actually the whole chapter, 1 to 32. So in reverence to the reading of God's Word, may I invite everyone. Tayo po tayong lahat sa pagbigay ng honor in reading God's Word. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 15. We'll cover the whole chapter, 1 to 32. Pero yung babasahin lang natin, we'll just read verses 1 to 10. Okay? So if you're ready, read with me, starting on verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Continuing on verse 8, the parable of the lost coin. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May God be praised for the reading of His Word. Let's all bow our heads. Let's offer our prayer before we go to the message. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to read your word and to study it. We ask that your Holy Spirit to be upon us, most especially on your servant. Cleanse our hearts, Father, with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and free our mind that we may hear and understand the message you have for us today. This we earnestly pray in your Son's most precious name, Christ Jesus, and all Giuseppe Nuvali said, amen and amen. You can now take your seat. Okay, this message was actually taken, you know, a sort of a consolidation of my study of the several books and passages, namely Jesus Offers Hope by Chip Ingram, The Prodigal God by Timothy Keller, Look for You, you know, a book for the Gospel of Luke by Mike McKinley, and I found this a good video sermon, The Prodigal Son by Jason Fritz. So what is a parable? Ano ba yung parable? Hindi ko matagalog. Ano yung parable? Parabola. Yan. A parable is a short story. It's a short story with a big idea. And nobody's better than Jesus in telling stories. He is the master storyteller. And in just a few verses, he would communicate so much spiritual truth. And that is also the case for our text today. So let me ask you, how many parables do you think we can find in Luke 15? Ilan kaya yon? We just read two, right? The sheep and the coin. And we have the other one, the prodigal son. So all in all, it would be three. Well, but that was what I thought also before. But you look at verse 3. If you look at verse 3, it says, so he told them this parable, singular. So many scholars believe it's just one parable, but three mini stories. And they are actually related. And we'll show the correlation between this parable, these stories later on. So let's start off with the first one, yung parable of the lost sheep. Now, the sheep is very common to them and very valuable. They use the wool from the sheep. Ginagamit nila yon. They look at the landscape, like the one the picture is showing here, no? Titingin nila yung paligid nila, and they would surely see sheep as part of the landscape. And so they can relate to the sheep. Now, the key verse on this parable is on verse 4. Notice that it is a question. It's not a statement. Yung pagkasabi ni Jesus Christ dito, it's not saying, you know, there was a shepherd. He has 100 sheep. Hindi ganon. Question siya. In fact, it is a rhetorical question. He's saying, what man of you, if you have 100 sheep, one is lost, wouldn't you look for that one? Ganon yung tone ng pananalita niya. And just like any rhetorical question, it's actually a question that you know the answer. Jesus' assumption is that the listeners would all agree and would know the answer to this one. And based on their livelihood, no, being shepherds as common job for them, they would know. Alam nila na pag meron silang sheep at yung isa ay talagang umalis at nawala, hahanapin nila yon. That is very common to them. And some of the scholars would say, it's actually safe to leave the 99 in the open country. Others, sinasabi naman nila, there's actually risk. But yung importance ng sheep na yon is so much na talagang yung shepherd would go out of its way to find the lost sheep. Now, verse 5 would say, and when he was found it, you know, Jesus is very good in this. He lays it on his shoulders. You know, he's giving an imagery. And everyone could connect this one, you know. They could see themselves here. You know, may bit-bit na tupa sa balikat nila. And so they can easily connect. So with that, let's go to the second parable, the lost coin. Yung coin in Greek word is drachma, and it's actually equivalent to a day's wage, yung isang araw na sahod. But they say yung sorinto would mean it's actually not the monetary value, but the sentimental value. During back those days, the Jewish women would actually have or collect, gather 10 silver coins. Tapos itatali nila yon, gagawin nilang parang headband sa ulo. And they would wear that publicly as a symbolism that they are married. And so if they lose one of the 10 silver coins, it's very much like they losing the wedding ring to our case. So hindi siya basta monetary value, but actually it has a sentimental value. Now a woman with a modest mean would live in a house na mahirap lang. Yung sahig niya, it's not covered with stones. It's actually soil lang. And then yung house nila would not have the window where the light would come in. That's why the verse would say, he would have to light a lamp and sweep the house. Kasi yung coin naman, pagka itong seg na ito, makikita mo naman kagad yun. Minsan yung coin, pagka lupa, matatabunan yun. So talagang kailangan niyang hanapin intensively. Now you have two stories. At the end of these two stories, you have parallel verses. 7 and 10. On 7, it says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. You know, Jesus is saying, you know, when you find the sheep, you will have some delight, joy. And the same joy, you know, God would have over one sinner who repents. Verse 10, it would say, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So what is Jesus doing here? He was trying to correlate or to associate yung mga lost found na situation over that time. And then he's saying, no, pag nakita niyo yung lost item na yon, 'di ba magiging masaya kayo? In the same way, just so God would also be happy. Even just one sinner who would repent and come back to his Father. Parang ganyang kwento. Now, how many of you ay nawalan na ng wallet? Aba, wala. Wa ayon. Sige, konti lang. How about cellphone? Yeah, medyo makakapag-relate kayo. If you have lost a wallet or a cellphone or anything valuable in the past, could you recall to what extent have you done to look for it? You know, sometimes we would probably left it sa restroom or sa restaurant or sa isang establishment. You would go back, tatanungin mo yung waiter na may naiwan ako dito eh. Sometimes you would report it sa lost and found. Diba? Parang ganun eh. In my analysis here, no, I think Jesus would actually, if he would come here and give the parable, he would use a different item. Most probably cell phone, no, or yung wallet, not sheep or coin. But the principle is the same. Sasabihin niya na if you lose your wallet, isn't it na hahanapin mo siya? Talagang hahanapin mo. Although sa ngayon, yung pag nawala mo na yung cellphone, medyo mahirap nang hanapin. Most of the big chance is talagang hindi mo na makikita. But setting that aside, you know, hahanapin mo siya. And when you found it, di ba ang saya-saya mo, you would celebrate, no? With your friends. Yun yung ganun yung story eh. And just so, ganun din yung feeling ng ating Panginoon when one sinner would repent, no? Now it's we can easily get distracted on the true point of this parables. You know, the parables is not about the sheep and the coin. No, it's not. Hindi yun yung main, hindi yun yung bida. That is not the character or the main point. The main point is the passionate search. Yun po, yung intensive search ng paghahanap sa mga valuable things na to. Kasi it resembles the love of God for the lost. So yun yung dalawang parables. Now you may ask, eh bakit kailangan tatlo pa? But hindi na lang pumunta kagad, isa na lang. Let's just go to the prodigal son. Ba't kailangan tatlo pa yung parable, sheep, coin, and son? Now, the answer to that is something that we can get if we analyze the three parables, you know, comparatively. If you study these parables, there are some similarities. Ang kwento ng bawat isa is something like this. Merong isang mahalagang bagay, there's something valuable, it was lost, nawala, and there was an intensive search, and then it was found, and then a great celebration happened, and then the spiritual explanation was given, you know. There's so much joy in the heaven. Ganun yung similarities or patterns in these three parables. But although there are common elements, there is something different among them. And that is yung value nung nawawala o nung nawala. If you try to compare that, among the three parables or stories, you know, for the sheep, ilan ba yung total sheep ng shepherd? Sabi kanina, 100, di ba? So the ratio of the lost against the total is 1 out of 100. Ganun yung value ng lost sheep. How about do sa coins, the silver coins? How many were the silver coins? 10. So it's 1 out of 10. So you notice the pattern, it's actually exponentially increasing yung value. 1 out of 100, 1 out of 10, and in the prodigal, in the story of the prodigal son, 1 out of 2. You see yung galing ni Jesus Christ in delivering the parables, he would start with something common, sheep. Alam ng lahat yun, kasi common yung lahat ng, common na trabaho yung shepherd eh. Alam ng lahat yun. So when Jesus gave the parable of the sheep, the lost sheep, they would all connect. No? Sasabihin niya, oh, nawala yung sheep. And everyone would say, oh, syempre, hanapin namin yon. And then he would bring it up to the next level, coin. And he would say, what woman of you, to the ladies, kung kayo ba mawalan, ganun yung tema niya. And the ladies would say, oh my, I would sweep all day para hanapin yung coin na yon. And the point of Jesus is, and by the way, those two things are two things that all or every good Jewish individuals would do. But the third one, yung ginawa ng father to the prodigal son, was something shocking. No father during that time would do that. You know, would even give in to the request of the prodigal son na hatiin yung property niya. And so what is Jesus doing here? He was trying to give the three stories, building up his case. He was saying, you're doing it for the sheep, right? Pag nawala yung sheep, gagawin mo, hanapin mo. You're doing it for the coin. Pag nawala yung coin, hahanapin mo. But are you going to do it for the son? And mind you, the value is increasing. Yung pang mas mahalaga, gagawin mo ba yon? And so, enter the prodigal son parable. Yung prodigal son is probably the most iconic parable among the 30 parables in the Bible. It's the most celebrated, most given the artworks, whether sculpture, painting. This one is from Rembrandt. Painting or yung stained glass. Or literature, mga kwento, even movies. I think merong movie sa Prodigal Son. So talaga yung pinakasikat. Now, Prodigal Son is a parable. Fictitious yan. Hindi siya totoo. And it was not given by Jesus para to encourage yung mga parents with rebellious kids. No, that is not the purpose of this parable. He was giving this parable to show the lavish love of God for the lost people. Now they say, yung unang sumikat to, it was just termed as the prodigal son. Singular. But as we know, there are two sons that are prodigal. Now in more recent years, katulad yung sinulat ni Timothy Keller, there are actually three prodigals. Yung prodigal kasi ang ibig sabihin noon, not rebellious or lost, it means extravagant and wasteful. Now, they're saying in recent years, there are actually three prodigals. Yung dalawang anak at saka yung ama. Prodigal in the sense na this father would act, you know, unexpectedly and totally absurd, you know, out of character. Hindi nila inaasahan. And so, they say there are three prodigals. So, I'll just go through the verse 11 to 32 through the prodigal son. Starting off with the first verse given in 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. Stop muna tayo doon. So if you can absorb that passage, ang sinasabi ng son, Father, I want mine now. You know? I mean, if you can relate in Filipino culture, kayo kaya, yung mga parents dito, lapitan kayo ng anak nyo, yung especially the oldest one, and sabihin, Tay, you know, I want to leave home. Ayoko na dito sa bahay na to. I want my mana now. Gusto ko na yung mana ko ngayon, and I want it now. Bigay mo na sa akin. In their culture, that is so disrespectful. That is so embarrassing. You know, no son would ever tell that. And in fact, pag may ganong anak, you know what they deserve? A typical Jew would say, ganon. You want mine now? You know? Get out. You know, get out of here. You know, the father would slap the son in his face, drag him out, and would say, you know, get out and never come back until you get your act together. Ganon. In fact, yung gentong behavior is against a moral value that is being held by the community. And so it's so serious that even the community can actually consider themselves having the license or the authority to kill you. Ganong kabigat to, just to save the honor of the family. And the expectation really is for the father, you know, to address this concern, you know, very strictly. Talagang slap him on the face, itapon mo siya, banish from this house. But the father's response is, and he divided his property. And you can imagine the listeners, wait, what? He actually divided his property? And they were shocked. No father would do this. This is impossible. No father would do this. How weak-minded and coward is this father that he brought shame, that he's giving shame to himself? And yet he divided his property. You know, Jesus is painting a picture here of the father who is actually being resembled by our God, God the Father. And when the father would divide his property, despite the disrespect, no, it's like saying to his son, you know, son, if you want a season in your life to reject me, you know, that you want to reject me and dishonor me and leave me and you have nothing, you know, to do with me, just do your stuff, I will let you. I will allow you. But I still love you. Does that sound familiar? Any of you in the past, or even currently, would have that attitude? You would say to our Father God, you know, Father God, I wish I could just do my stuff. You know, just don't mess with my life for now. And the Father would say, my love would not change. My love would not change. If you want a season in your life to reject me and do your stuff, I will allow you. That will bring you to destruction through so much pains that I don't want you to go through, but I will allow you. And my love would not change. And it will break my heart. Yun yung picture na binibigay niya dito. 13. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. That country must be a Gentile country. Kasi yung Jewish people doesn't go very far. Kasi they just stay in the country. If you step foot on a Gentile country, that makes you unclean immediately. Ganun sila kaano eh. Marami silang batas eh. And so if it's a far country, this must be a Gentile. And we will confirm that later on. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. You know, what took generations and generations for the father to, you know, to build his property, tas hinati niya, only took how many days? For the child to squander in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose. You know, you talk of timing. Here is a Jewish boy na in a foreign land. Wala siyang kamag-anak doon. He doesn't have relatives or someone to take care of him. He doesn't have any money anymore. So gutom na siya and there's a famine. Now, what happens when there's a famine? Yung typical famine lang, you would expect the price of the food would go up. The much more na mahirapan siya mag-acquire ng food to feed himself. Etong famine na to, the scholars would believe it's a severe famine. It's so bad that it can lead to cannibalism. Ganong kagrabe to. And so he began to be in need. And he actually had a job. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, meaning a local farmer, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. So now, you know, it's a Gentile. Kasi walang pig farm sa Jewish place. So this is a Gentile place. And verse 16, you read this one. I mean, really read this one. And, you know, get the full impact of this verse. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. Absorb that, you know? Meditate on that verse. When I was small, meron kaming kapitbahay who has some pigs. Hindi naman siya piggery, parang few pigs lang. And they won't have, you know, feeds to feed the pigs. So ang ginagawa, nagkokolekta ng kanin baboy. Tapos sasamahan ko yung kaibigan ko, yung kanin baboy, if none of you, or some of you would not know, ito yung mga leftovers na nilalagay lang sa lata. Tapos iniipon lang yon. After some day or several days, sasamahan ko yung kaibigan ko, kakatok kami, kanin baboy po, mangongolekta. And then yon, kukolektahin sa pail. At yun yung ipapakain sa baboy. Now, I'm just trying to make some context here, no? Kayo ba, can you get hungry to the point na yung kanin baboy gusto nyong kainin? Imagine that. And then the next verse says, no one gave him anything. Wala pang nagbibigay sa kanya ng pagkain. Even the one who hired him, walang binibigay. Now what is Jesus doing here? He's painting a picture of the most deplorable and wretched sinner. The sinner is so far from God. So far. Na you would just think, no? Wala nang pag-asa to. Wala na. Napakalayo na nito. He is just lost. No way that he would be able to return. But when he came to himself, you know, that means he started to develop a repentant heart. He said, how many of my fathers? No, now, he remembers his father. He remembers, you know, his life at home. Home is not a place. It's a relationship. He remembers back yung father niya and how he was living back then. You know, the goodness of the father for taking care of, you know, him and his brother. And then, naalala niya yung hired servants. Let me give you some introduction on that. Yung hired servants is the lowest of the slaves. Merong stay-in, they call it slaves. Yun yung mga katulong. Yun yung kasama ng master in the house. But there are slaves na nandun lang sa labas ng gate. Sometimes the father would have much work na kailangan niya ng additional workers. And so the father would go outside the gate and titignan niya yung mga servants outside. Itong mga servants na to talagang lowest of the lowest kasi wala silang naipong pera. In fact, there is a law would say, pag nagtrabaho sila, immediately after, bayaran mo. Kasi pagbabayad mo, bibili ng pagkain yon, doon pa lang sila kakain. Ganong kahirap tong hired servant. But, yung picture nung bata, doon sa hired servants, the picture he has for the hired servants, he remembered that they have more than enough bread to eat. Pero ako dito nagugutom. And so, he developed a repentant heart and he would confess. Ito yung confession niya. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I get it. For what I have done, alam ko na. No way na ako magiging anak mo pa. But even so, gutom ako eh. Baka pwede naman kahit hard servants. So you look at the attitude of the servant, no? It's like, you know, receive me as a hired servant. And then I can earn something that I can feed myself. And probably, who knows, di ba? Eventually, you know, from hired servants, baka maging slave siya. And eventually, earn his way to dad's favor. And he would learn later, no, it's not about what he can do. It's about the father who is so generous, so gracious, that he would receive his son back to him again. And so, bumalik na siya. Meron siyang speech doon, no? Magsasorry siya, and then sasabihin niya, I hire mo ko. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off. Notice that verse. Malayo pa. Kita na kaagad ang father. What does that tell you? You know, the father was not inside the home. Wondering someday, somehow, you know, the child would come back. No, he was outside, looking, waiting, and longing for his son. And that's why, a long far off, kita niya na. and felt compassion. And this word, this is a short word, run. In their culture, men do not run. Women run, children run, men do not run. It's disgraceful and dishonoring. For them to run, they would have to lift their robe to their hip, you know, dip their robe. And then this word is actually literally sprint. Tatakbo talaga siya. They would lift their robe so para hindi sila mapatid o matumba. And so what will happen is they will expose their legs, which is disgraceful and dishonoring. Even to this day, you cannot see men's legs in the Middle Eastern countries. It's disgraceful and dishonoring. But you know what the father said? No, I don't care. I saw my child there. I will run towards him. Embrace him and kiss him. Embrace him literally putting his head on the shoulder of the son. Nakita niyo yung itsura ng son kanina, naglilimahid, no? Dahil galing sa pigpen eh. And yet, no. He would embrace the son and kiss him. The grammar here is repeatedly smothering him with kisses. And the son said to him, ito na yung confession speech niya, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And stop. The father would say, quick, bring the robe. You would not make restitution. You would not earn your way back to me. You don't know how much grace I can give you. Quick, bring the best robe, the robe of the first, that is the father's. This is a very important robe. He doesn't use this. He only used this for special occasion, like a wedding. And now he's saying, bring the best robe. And in the full view of the community, you know, his naked son, he will now clothe to restore his sonship. Put a ring on his hand. This ring must be a signet ring that has a mark on it, to imprint on wax, so that it would be used for seal. During that days, you know, every transaction, business transaction, is through a seal, a family seal. So he's giving the son this seal so that, you know, it's a symbolism of authority and power for the son, restoring his sonship to the fullest. To our days, it's very much like, you know, the father would give a credit card to the son. Oh, ito, meron ka ng pera, pambili mo. The fattened calf. They would separate a calf, put it in a stall. This is not a free range, yung nasa field. Lalagay nila sa kulungan and they would feed it with grain, not grass, grain. And they would overfeed it hanggang tumaba. And it is saved for special occasion. One fattened calf would be able to feed 200 to 300 guests. And so with this, you know it's not just a family celebration. It's a community party. And the father would say, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. There you go. There you have it again, lost and found. Now what is Jesus doing here? He's depicting trying to paint the prodigal father. Now, I'll use this term from Timothy Keller. And there's two purposes of the story. No? To the self-righteous Pharisees, you know, he would say, and again, I'll go to the background, may mga tax collectors and sinners, they were at the feet of the Jesus, and he's teaching and he's preaching. Nandun yung Pharisees, grumbling and saying, you know, we hate you. You cannot be from God. So they're saying that. And Jesus would say, let me tell you a story. Let me paint you a portrait of the worst sinner that you can imagine. The worst sinner that you can imagine and how God feels about him. It's the worst sinner that you can imagine that everyone, you know, all the rest of the sinners would say, oh wow, if God can accept that, then how much more for me, for you, for sinners like us. Yun yung purpose niya in saying this parable to the Pharisees who are self-righteous. But to the repenting sinners, ito yung message. No, whatever sins you have, yung grace ng Panginoon is so absolute. It's so amazing. We just sing the song, you know, Your Grace is Enough. That is so true. Your grace is enough. It's more than enough. And the message is simply, your failure is never final. Some of you may have done something, you know, a big mistake in the past, a big sin that you think you can never outgrow. You know, no amount of repentance could make restitution. But no, that is not the case. This parable is saying your failure is never final. That is not your story. That is not the story that what God wants you to live. He offers you His forgiveness and the opportunity to put your hope in Him, to your loving Father. I don't know if some of you would have this image. He is our Father. Father siya. He is also God, but He is our Father, loving. Imagine a child, you know, sitting on the lap of the Father. That is the kind of image we have in Father. Let's go to the elder son. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. And you know what this made the elder brother? He was angry. He was angry that the father would forgive the young son and refuse to go in. Ayan. You know, imagine the situation now. There's a celebration inside the house and everyone was, they're even not yet through with the shock na tinanggap ng father yung anak. Hindi pa sila tapos doon. No? And you know, it's a grand celebration. And they, oh, but the father is so gracious, no? But where's the older son? Wait, he's outside? Bakit? And you can feel the drama. And once again, for the second time, the father will humiliate himself. Would go, you know, usually the father would sit on the honor table. Ang usualing punong abalaya is none other than the elder brother. Siya yung nag-asikaso ng guest. But this time, he would have to stand up and come out, the verse would say, and beg him, entreated him. He would plead for the older son to come in. And the older son would reply, look. Iba na yung ano niya, tone niya ngayon. Look. In fact, on the verse 30, it would say, but when this son of yours, he doesn't refer to his dad as father anymore. He doesn't refer to his sibling as brother anymore. He's saying, no, I don't want to be part of this family. This is so dysfunctional. I am superior. I am better than this one. I don't deserve you. And he would say, I have served you. Translation, I have been slaving myself for you para makakuha ng something. You know, you never even gave me. That's the key. You never even gave me a young goat. What is Jesus trying to depict here? He's revealing the heart of the older son. You know, the older son has the same heart, pero he's doing it differently. He's doing obedience to the father so he too can get something from the father. Oh, at least yung bata, he's saying that upfront, you know, give me mine now. Ito, iba. Sumusunod siya dahil gusto niya yung sa father, but he doesn't like the father. He doesn't like the relationship with his father. And so when the fathers forgive the child, talagang that made him angry. And so what Jesus is trying to tell us is, be careful, you know. Consider your heart. Baka merong kayong elder brother's heart. If a blessing would come to a sinner or to someone who have hurt you, you know, and that would make you angry, red lights would come off from your dashboard. You know, pwede mong sabihin kasi, but God, ba't ganon? But yung isa na ba-bless, eh, parang wala nga ginagawa yun eh. Mas deserving pa ako dun eh. And yet, you're not blessing me with more yun na nakukuha niya. And that makes you self-righteous and angry. No, that is a warning for you. Because you're just saying, you know, I'm in this thing only because for the gift, for the blessings. But the pursuit of God is more than the blessings. We pursue the blesser more than the blessing. We pursue the giver more than the gifts. And the father would still show mercy to the elder son. He would say, but you are always with me. See the relationship? Yung presence ko, yung presensya ko was with you all this time. I am with you, your father. And coming out of that relationship, you know, what I have is yours. When we started the message, we say, you know, I asked this question, what kind of person does God love? And it comes as a shocking answer to the Pharisees, and it may come as a surprise to some of you right now. God is not so passionate to reward those people na they feel they deserve the goodness of God. That they are so good that God is obliged to throw open the gates of heaven for them and, you know, force the hand of God to their goodness. No, no. But God loves and pursues the lost. He delights when they are restored to the fellowship with Him. None of us are righteous. That's why sabi ng ano sa Bible, you know, Jesus did not come for the righteous because there's no one. There's no one. None of us are righteous enough to deserve God's love. And God's love is always rooted in His own character for who He is and never in our goodness and our obedience. We don't earn our way back to our God. Now, the tax collectors and the sinners were very unfortunate kasi yung elder brother nila, in essence, was the Pharisees. But we, the collective human race, we actually have a true elder brother who came to this earth, who lived and obeyed the Father completely. He loved God with all his soul, mind, and heart, and his, you know, neighbor as himself, completely. But at the end of his life, this true elder brother didn't get the royal robe. He was stripped. He didn't get the fattened calf. You know, at the cross, he was given vinegar. He didn't get the ring of honor. He got the crown of thorns. And he would say, I did that for you. You know, salvation may be completely free for all of us, but it's so, you know, unimaginably costly for our Lord Jesus Christ. You could imagine Jesus would put a bad elder son or brother in the story so that we could long for the true one. We actually didn't just need an elder brother who would come and go to the next town para sunduin tayo and bring us back. We would need an elder brother who came along all the way from heaven to earth. We don't just need an elder brother who would bring us back to the family through the cause of his inheritance. We need an elder brother who will be willing to do so at the cost of his life. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, verse 10. The applications. I just have three. Understand that the heart of the Father and His absolute, total, limitless, abounding grace and mercy. If you can grasp that, you know, no amount of sin, mistake, failures is bigger than the grace of God. The grace always wins. The grace is always bigger. And God would always have the forgiveness for you. But of course, there's sincerity. There's honesty in here. You know, for the younger son, he completely, 180 degrees, turned his back from his previous life and go back to the Father. There's no messing around. But out of the abundance of grace, from the Father's heart, you know, He offers forgiveness to the Son. Second, be aware of the sin that you have or that you need to repent of. For some, it's a blatant disobedience from God. For others, it's the tendency to become an elder son, to become self-righteous. And finally, third, be moved by the love of God. If your picture of God is someone, you know, who is cross-armed and tapping his feet like this, so, ano na namang ginawa mo? Ganon. But that is not correct based on this parable. If your concept of God does not include the Father running towards the Son, embracing Him and kissing Him, then your concept of God is incomplete. And to the degree that you know that, to the degree that you know that the Father loves you and offers so much grace, amazing is His grace, you would truly live a Christian life. You would not, you know, disobey or work hard for His grace. No. You would live a Christian life because, in the first place, God first loved you. God first redeemed you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And simply the message is, your failure is never final. So put your hope in God, your loving Father, who is merciful, gracious, who would say, "My child, I long for you. Come back home. I love you." And that is what the Father's heart really like. Let's bow our heads and let's close in prayer. Father, many of us today, we need to believe that you deeply love us, not for the things we have done, but because of who you are. A good and merciful Father. We can never earn our way back to you. It's only by your love. Through your Son, Christ Jesus, that we can lay hold of the gift to become your sons and daughters. You are the God of grace. That is so amazing.